following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How did God take a television producer and reporter from ABC TV at the height of her career at age 35 through a recurrence of breast cancer involving a mastectomy and reconstructive surgeries? What happened when she challenged ABC's producers to document her story in order to educate the public? How did she speak about the Lord when she was interviewed? This is the story of Kathy Masamitsu. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you, dear friend, that the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. My friend, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter how tough things may seem to be at this very moment, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, the resurrected one, who touched the heart and life of Kathy Masamitsu, is reaching out to you, is calling out to you. Will you respond to Jesus? Will you open your heart to Jesus? Will you bring all your burdens to him and receive him as your Savior and Lord? Will you repent? That means to turn from your ways and turn to God's ways. You know, that's our prayer. That's our hope as we share in this time with you today. Kathy Masamitsu is a former television producer and reporter for ABC TV's Home Show. She's an ordained elder serving at Bel Air Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. Kathy, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. It's just my pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for the invitation.
Tell us, Kathy, where did you grow up?
I grew up in suburban Chicago, way northern suburban Chicago. In fact, people from the city, when I tell them I grew up in Glencoe, Illinois, they say, oh, that's not really Chicago. I was way north, northern suburbs. That's my hometown.
So you're used to the windy city, the cold that goes right through to the bone?
Absolutely. Although right now, when we're recording this show, the springtime and the autumn are the best times in Chicago. The best times.
So sensitive of you to say that. I mean, it will be hopeful and lovely just for someone from Chicago to hear the way that you're describing. Who influenced you most, Kathy, in your growing up years?
In my growing up years, my mother influenced me most. My mother was the first in her whole family that was saved. And she saved all of her children and ultimately my father, both my parents were unsaved. all the way into their adulthood, and they both became Christians as adults, which, as you know, is a rare thing.
Yes, yes. Now, I recall it had something to do with the church choir. Do you take us to that moment in your family with
story,
your parents?
The story first with my mom, and she became the seeds were planted through her life for the Lord to have people in her life to touch her and witness to her. And just before she went to relocation camp, she grew up in Boyle Heights, Los Angeles, in South LA. And she, the day before she was leaving to go to relocation camp, one of the teachers at her school, she went to Roosevelt High School, and one of the teachers at her school was a Christian, and she slipped a little New Testament into my mother's pocket and said, "Read this." And because this was a beloved teacher, of course, she kept it and treasured it. She kept that little New Testament for her whole life. I still have that Bible. So those were some of the seeds planted in my mom's life as a young girl. She grew up both in the Shinto religion and in the Buddhist religion. Half of her family was one or the other. But as she grew up, and after she married my dad, she left camp to go marry my dad, who was stationed in Minneapolis. And she was really frightened. She told me before she knew the Lord, she was really terrified of dying. And after she already had all five of us kids, we were little, her younger brother had been going to take some classes at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And my Uncle Roy came and witnessed to his big sister, and my mom became saved. So she was taking all five of us kids to church, but my father wouldn't go. My father was one of those who had kind of raised himself from age 9 when his family split up. And he was one of those people that would say, don't ask me to believe in something that you can't, show me proof. So he would drop my mom and all of us kids off at church, but my father would never go. And this was a tiny little church, and the pastor in those years would come to visit his flock. My father would be at work all day. He had to take two trains to get to work and to come home. So he left at the same time every morning, and he came home at the same time every evening when the second train came in. So in the middle of the afternoon one day, the pastor of the little church my mom was attending stopped by to just check on his flock, and he said, "Joyce, how are you doing? How can I be praying for you?" She said, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me to have the right words to share with my husband because he doesn't know the Lord and I don't know how to explain to him who God is." And the pastor said, "Well, can you think of any way that maybe he'd come by church?" And she said, "No, I've asked him so many times. He won't come. Are there any events at church that might interest him?" And she said, "I don't think so, but my husband does have a beautiful singing voice." And my father did have a beautiful singing voice. And miraculously, well, this is one of God's miracles, my father walked in the door in the middle of the afternoon right at that moment. The Lord had put a migraine headache in his head, and he took an early train to come home and lie down, and he walked in the door. And, of course, he knew who the pastor was. He greeted him and said he had to go lie down, and the pastor said, "Bob, we could sure use your voice in our choir." And my father, I think because he had a headache and he, wanted to be polite, he said, well, "When's choir rehearsal?" And the pastor said, "Tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And my dad said, "Okay, I'll be there." And so he was saved by the beautiful music in the choir and the witnesses of the choir members as to who Jesus is. And I always tell people when they're asking for prayer for their family member, how do I witness to a family member? I always say, You don't have to have the right words. Just pray. God's already doing it.
Beautiful, beautiful story, Kathy. Yourself. How did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian going to church with my family. I really only remember, since my dad was saved when I was only in kindergarten, I think, I remember him always being in the church choir. So I remember going to church every Sunday with my family, my dad singing all the choir hymns on the way to and from church. And when I was in, I think I was in about fifth or sixth grade, I told my parents that I wanted to come forward in church for the call. They would have an altar call, but I was too afraid. And my parents said, why don't you go in the evening service? Because there are less people there, and Daddy will be singing in the choir anyway. So you can go with him to church and go forward. And so I thought, well, there's a good idea. So I went with my father to church that night, and I was at the edge of the pew. I don't think I listened to that sermon at all. I just knew I was being called to go forward. And so when that altar call came, I went running to the front. And the pastor laughed because he said, everybody was so surprised to see this little girl running to the front right the moment he called for people to come forward. And of course, I met with an elder after that service, and it was a very special memory for me because the elder brought me out after talking to me and said to my father, this is your brand new daughter, child of God. And that was really meaningful to me because my father died very young. And so I was really only in 11th grade when my dad passed away and went to heaven. So that is a memory that I cherish because it was an evening I was just with my dad. I'll never forget.
And thank you for sharing it with us. You're telling the story again, letting us have a part in your life in the way that God has worked. The Lord has worked in Kathy Masamitsu's life, and he continues to move powerfully through her even as she shares her story. She is a communicator. She has been trained and experienced many, 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 many times. So to have someone who loves the Lord with us in this moment is a blessing indeed and will be a blessing to you. You can find out more about Kathy Masamitsu at cpkm.tripod.com. Again, that's cpkm.tripod.com. I'll share that with you throughout the program. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear about her education, her career in working in entertainment production. And then we'll talk about her breast cancer and her treatments. But also what she did, the courage it took for her to propose something, well, she says, to challenge producers and see how many lives her act of faith produced. More with Kathy Masamitsu, cpkm.tripod.com. Stay with us.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Kathy Masamitsu is our guest today. Talk about courage. Talk about hearing news about cancer and the faith that she exuded as a result. You can find out more about Kathy at cpkm.tripod.com. And if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, free podcast. Go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Kathy, tell us a bit about your education and career working in entertainment production.
Well, I spent, I was educated at UCLA. I have a degree in design from there. And I had no plan at that time to go into entertainment at all. I had worked my way through college, working part-time at a stock brokerage. I was actually very interested in finance and business. But I had 1 year out of college, I had an offer to work at a movie production office, which sounded awfully interesting to me. So I worked for literally 1 year out of UCLA. I worked for almost 5 years for a movie producer, Tom Laughlin, who created and directed the Billy Jack movie and several sequels to that. I was brought in when he was working on one of his sequels called Billy Jack Goes to Washington, and he had actually taken the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington story and updated it and put in the Billy Jack character. So I learned a lot. I worked for Tom in a movie production office and enjoyed it, but very fast-paced, and decided after, I think it was almost 5 years, that I was going to take a little break. I thought I was going to take 2 months off because I hadn't had a vacation for a while. But God had other plans, Danny. God had other plans for me. And one of my associates told me about a position with a television production company, independent producer, and they wanted me to meet with him. And so in 1981, I went to meet with big TV producer, Woody Fraser. Woody was the creator of the Mike Douglas Show back in the very early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. And he was the creator of Good Morning America. Woody was in L.A. and was producing for Alan Landsberg Productions. He had 6 shows in production, including That's Incredible and The Richard Simmons Show. This was 1981. I had never worked in television before. Totally different pace than movies. Much faster. And with 6 shows in production at one time, it was crazy and wild. But I was young and in my 20s, and I loved it. So I kind of was trial by fire working with Woody Fraser Productions. And to this day, over 40 years later, I'm still in touch with Woody. He's retired and in living in Ojai, California, and working on his autobiographical book. So I have a little part in that, but he's a tremendously creative guy, and he's the one who was producing the home show for ABC. And we had already been in production for several years. The home show was a show that was on at 10 in the morning, like at this time slot when The View came to be on. That was what the home show was on. And it was live to the East Coast and tape delayed to the West Coast. And it had never covered any serious kind of story. They had just done things having to do with the home, you know, cooking, backyard gardening, child raising, all these, you know, arts and crafts. That's what the home show did. But because I'd been working for Woody already for 9 years, this was my second battle with breast cancer, and Woody had already been my boss through my first battle with breast cancer 6 years before. So I came to him and said that I wanted to do something. I thought maybe we'd do a documentary about breast cancer. And my mastectomy was scheduled in less than a week. And I said, I want to do something that's going to help women. They need to know that if you are diagnosed early like I was, you have many more options. And Woody was the one who said, if you want to help women, they're watching in the daytime. They're watching a home show. That's the show your story should be on. And I knew he was right, but I was a little taken aback because home show was shot live to the East Coast. So there's no take two, you know. They ask you a question, and if you flub it, well, you flub it. But I knew he was right because he's a genius. And so the camera started covering me the next week. And as they followed me over the next couple months, they put together the series that we aired just a couple months later as a 5-part series with my whole story. And it changed ABC Morning TV. They had never aired anything like that, a real working woman's story of facing breast cancer. But that's what God wanted me to do. And I've been very blessed to have done that.
I want you to talk about one aspect or one part of an episode. The television show shared your testimony, how you were able to get through the night before you were able to get through your mastectomy surgery.
Yeah.
Would you share that?
Yeah, that's a tough night. The night before my mastectomy was a night I was expecting to be filled with dread. I was expecting it to be a night that I would probably not sleep because I was not looking forward to what I was facing in the morning. I expected it to be a night when even if my friends did call me, they wouldn't know what to say or they wouldn't have a clue about what I was going to be facing the next day. And I thought, how am I going to get through this evening? How am I going to face that? And the Lord is so good, Danny, because that night wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like what I expected. And that is because I realized in that night that my God, Jesus Christ, loved me enough to live that night of dread. He lived the same night. He became human, and he lived the night of not wanting to face what you have to face the next day, of being surrounded by the people who are your friends who have no clue, really, of what you're facing and maybe don't even say the right thing or don't know what to say. And I tell you, when I realized that, when I realized how much the Lord loved me to live that night, then I could get through that night and I could face that next day. We serve a great God, a great God.
What part, Kathy, what part of your breast cancer story? I mean, it's documented, so it's the layers are unfolding before the viewing audience. What part of your breast cancer story do you feel impacted most lives?
the part of the story, it's aired in five parts, and the DVD is still available if people want it. I can get it to them for just the cost of the, you know, DVD, of getting it out. So if they go to that website and, you know, click Contact Kathy, I can get them a copy of the show. But it aired in five parts. And at the very beginning, when we were putting it all together, I said, I want to air an actual breast self-exam. I have so many women who have said to me, I don't know how to do a breast self-exam. I've never had instruction on it. I don't know what to do. I just rely on my doctor at my annual exam to examine my breasts. And of course, that's not enough. Women need to examine their breasts monthly. And I just had heard so many times of women saying, I don't know how to do it. And so I kind of don't. And I said, I want the network to give us permission to air a real demonstration of breast self-exam using a real woman and a nurse. We actually used a woman who was a nurse who said she was willing to do this because she'd have to, you know, bare her breast in order to show how you do that exam. And she said she wanted to be part of it because her mother had recently died of breast cancer, and she realized that this was something that will save other people's lives. So on the Thursday show of that five-part series, we promoted it all week, and we told people at home, you know, we didn't have DVRs then, set your VCR and have a tape, and when we tell you to hit record, then on Thursday's show, we are going to give you a way to record a breast self-exam that you will be able to keep and use when you want to review on how to do it. And that was quite a remarkable segment because, again, network had never aired anything like that. And we had to have warnings of families that were going to have material that was somewhat sensitive. So maybe don't have little kids watching. But it was estimated that 10 million families, as a national network show, it was estimated 10 million families watched and potentially recorded that show. And I had many requests afterwards for the tape. Many times from men who said, I heard you aired this, and I want this for my wife and my daughters. Can you send me a copy? So I just know that recording of the breast self-exam demonstration, it could still now be saving lives. It's something of which I know was the Lord telling me something he wanted done. And we did.
Your obedience is an encouragement to anyone's Christian faith. And the action that you've taken to do what you felt God put on your heart to do and the opportunity given, and also your awareness of the platform, that you were uniquely positioned in such a way that many, many, I mean, we're talking 10 million homes could be reached. Kathy Masamitsu, what an example. And thank you for continuing to share your story. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about a book and a catchy title. Breast cancer, let me check my schedule. You see, dear friend, the public's response was immediate and overwhelming, with phone calls and letters flooding in from across the nation. Kathy Masamitsu's Christian faith was evident through the series, and she openly spoke of the Lord whenever she was interviewed. She's with us today, speaking yet again. You can find out more about her at cpkm.tripod.com. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So the title of the book is Breast Cancer? Let me check my schedule. Irma Bombeck wrote, I have read 100 books on breast cancer, war stories of women who did battle with the most frightening adversary in their lives. Breast cancer, let me check my schedule, is different. These are all the personal stories of 10 women, all over 30, who pursue careers outside their homes. Kathy Masamitsu is our guest today. She is in that book, age 35, when she had a recurring breast cancer. Kathy, take us back. Tell us about your book, this catchy title. Why the catchy title?
Was invented by the executive assistant who was trying to get all 10 of us working women together for one weekend to write this book. We're from all ends of the country. We're all different ages. We're all different careers. And to try to gather us to write the book in a long weekend, which we did do, was such a chore for this executive assistant. And he said, I don't know how we're going to do this. You know, what you ought to call this book is Breast Cancer. Let me check my schedule. We all said, that is the title. And it certainly caught the eye of Irma Bombeck. Irma Bombeck was indeed someone that my boss Woody knew, because she had been part of his regular on television family for Good Morning America. And when the book was getting ready to be published, I went into Woody and said, I need a favor. I need you to ask your friend Irma if she will write the foreword to our book. All the women who wrote the book with me agreed ahead of time that we wouldn't take any money for this, that we all the money for the book that the book generated would go to breast cancer advocacy groups. And so we weren't taking a cent. But I wanted it to sell, of course. And I knew that if the cover said Foreword by Irma Bombeck, that alone will sell books. So my boss picked up the phone and called Irma, and within 24 hours, she wrote the most beautiful foreword that, I mean, she was a genius, but she was also a breast cancer survivor, and she knew what that was like. She had not written anything about breast cancer herself, and so she wrote that forward, and it's another reason why I know I was supposed to be working where I was, because with just a request of my boss, we got a forward for the book that was, you know, a best-selling author, and she was a wonderful woman.
Kathy, again, the platform. Again, knowing intuitively how to connect people and who needed to be where, and in order for the message to get out. You've had the opportunity to speak with many breast cancer survivors. What have you learned from that experience?
Oh, I've learned so much. It's such a blessing when I get to be face to face with other women who have fought this battle. But I think one of the most important things I learned very soon was that breast cancer survivors are not just the women who have battled this disease within their own body. Every single family member of that woman, every friend or coworker, and, you know, of course, some of breast cancer veterans are men. Breast cancer, 1 in 1,000 cases, is a man who's faced breast cancer. But breast cancer, being a survivor, is truly the experience of every person who is part of that patient's life. I just learned right away that these are all really survivors of this disease, because it impacts, like a pebble in a pond, it impacts every life that yours touches. And always a privilege when I would be somewhere in the public and meeting people who would come up to me to thank me for putting the series on television. And I think the best illustration I had of how breast cancer affects every member of a woman's family was when I was in Texas for a conference. And a woman came up to me. It was like a convention, a women's convention. And I was interviewing some people who were appearing there and had unusual equipment that was going to help with mammograms. And a woman came up to me and she said, "Kathy, I'm Nancy, and this is my son, Lance." And she pointed to her little boy, who was about 6 years old, and he was clinging to her leg and hiding behind her a little bit. And she said, "I want to thank you for putting your story on the home show, because at the time your show was airing, I was going through the exact same treatment, same surgeries, everything the same. And so it helped me to watch this show and see what was happening to you." And she said, "I was taping the show every day, and sometimes I would watch the segments more than once. They were so helpful to me." And she said, "But I had a real problem, because my son Lance didn't believe I was going to live. My son Lance had a little friend on the playground who every day said to him, 'Your mommy's not going to live,' because Billy's mommy had that, and she said she was going to live, but Billy's mommy died. And so poor Lance was just terrified. He believed the kids on the schoolyard, and so she said, 'I know your show isn't made for a six-year-old audience, but I started to show my son your program. When he came home from school, I showed him your segments on the home show.' And she said, by the end of the week, my son was smiling again. And he said to me, 'Mom, you're going to be like Kathy. You're not going to die.' So I crouched down to this little boy who was kind of shyly hiding behind his mother. And I said, 'Lance, that is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. And I would go through this all over again, even if it was just for you.' And he kind of smiled and, you know, was embarrassed. And then his mother added, 'Well, that's not all. By the end of the week, Lance also told me that he's in love with you and he wants to marry you.'" And he looked up at his mother and said, "Mom, you promised not to tell her that." And I said, "Oh, Lance, I will wait for you." And he ran off to grab onto his dad's leg. But that just was such a clear illustration of how you can turn around that kind of survivor of breast cancer. And video will do that. Video will communicate that. And I should look up Lance, because that was about 30 years ago. He'd be yes. like an adult now.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, you've interviewed cancer survivors on television, one being Richard Block, co-founder of H&R Block, the tax preparation company. Tell us about him and his survivorship story.
Richard Block was a remarkable person. He's gone now, but he was an amazing man, and he did amazing things to help cancer survivors. He was told when he was still in his 70s that he had terminal lung cancer and that he had only 3 months to live. His doctor had said to him, you need to go home and get your affairs in order, because less than 2% of the people with your diagnosis survive. And Richard Block looked at the doctor and said, I am going to go home and find another doctor, because I need a doctor who sees me in that 2%. And he went through several...
What a way to put it.
What an attitude. He went through several very aggressive chemotherapy regimens, and he did go into remission. But he decided that he wasn't going to wait until after he was gone from this earth to, like, leave the money to do something wonderful for cancer survivors. He immediately changed his life to dedicate himself to helping people fighting cancer. And he started building cancer survivors parks, beautiful, beautiful parks. And he wanted to build one in every large metropolitan American city, a place of beauty and a place with sculptures and, you know, beautiful quotations scattered throughout the park that would give cancer survivors a beautiful place to be, to find hope and solace. So I went as a home show reporter to meet and interview Mr. Block. And I visited the very first of his cancer survivors parks, which was in Kansas City. And it was a wonderful interview. He was a delightful man. And at the end of that interview, one of our producers came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, you won't believe what just happened to me. And I said, what? And she said, I saw a woman sitting on a bench over in the other corner of the park, and she was crying. And so I went over to her and said, can I help you? And she said, this woman looked up at me, and through her tears, she smiled and said, I knew I had to come here today to celebrate the news that my oncologist just told me I'm in remission. It was wonderful. So wonderful. We have so many assumptions about, you know, strangers in our midst, and many times what they have to say ministers to us.
Kathy, the way you share, the way you've lived, it just touches the heart. And I want to make sure we have time for you to pray for a dear friend, a dear sister in Christ, a dear woman who is considering the Christian faith, someone who is just listening. This is a divine appointment. So when we come back from our break, I want to make sure we spend some time praying. I want you to pray for that dear person. Kathy Masamitsu, even as Kathy, her medical procedures were about to take place, she challenged home show's producers to document her story and create a daytime series of 5 segments to educate the public about the importance of early detection and the latest treatment options for breast cancer patients. The cameras followed her through her surgeries and recovery, and the award-winning daytime television series was highly acclaimed.
aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So you say, Danny, Kathy Masamitsu, I want to meet her. I want to connect with her. I want to learn more about her. Well, you can certainly do that at cpkm.tripod.com. cpkm.tripod.com. Kathy, you are a two-time veteran of cancer. What is it like to hear that diagnosis a second time?
It's a tough one. I think actually hearing I had a recurrence was actually even more difficult for me than the first time. The first time I was so young, I really knew nothing about what I was facing, and I had to, you know, kind of rush around to try to read everything I could and get information. But when I had the recurrence 3 years later, I realized that I had not really prepared myself for recurrence. I think in all the books that I had read, I kind of skipped that chapter on recurrence because you don't want to feel like you're going to go there. You don't want to think that that's going to be in your story. So I felt unprepared for facing recurrence, and I was frightened, and I was definitely praying, as I did the first time, for a miracle. But I was worried because I had a lumpectomy the first time, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, do I still have some kind of cancer that's been in all this whole time? And I was really praying hard for a miracle and praying hard that the Lord would heal me. And as many cancer patients or anyone facing a health crisis, I think we kind of sometimes lapse into deal making with the Lord. Please, God, if you will heal me, then I will. And I think maybe he just smiles and says, you know, just wait and see what I'm doing. Because I was praying for the Lord to please heal me, and I would spend the rest of my life telling everyone I could possibly tell how great a God he is. But I had no idea at that time that he had the television show in mind, that he was going to produce that, and that he was going to show it to more people, share my story with millions more people than I could possibly reach if I tried to talk to everybody one-on-one. So my lesson learned was that God's miracle is greater than anything we can imagine, and that it's hard to realize. But, you know, I think whenever I'm sharing my story, I try to remind people when I'm sharing my faith that the Lord is with us in that moment when we're in crisis. But he's beyond time. He's also with you and me right now, Danny, today, celebrating more than 30 years that I've been well. He's in both places at the same time. We can only be in one place. So he was already celebrating me with me when I was in crisis and not knowing what I was facing, and he knew I'd be sharing again with you today.
Kathy, I've got two things that I one is a question, and one I'd like to ask you to pray, as I was saying before. But how did you pray through that time, the second time you were diagnosed with cancer?
I think that the greatest prayer that I was given was to remember to hand over my life to the Lord, that he's the one in control. And it's a tough thing when your whole life and everything you're experiencing is in the other people's hands. You know, all the treatments you're going to go through, everything just seems to be out of your control. But to realize that the Lord is the one in control, that he is directing your life, and he is bringing to you every day what you're facing and giving you the strength to deal with it. And I think that that is probably the most powerful thing that I realized. And it's a prayer of submission. God, you're in control, and I will be obedient to you because I acknowledge that you are the one who's helping me to get through each day. And that absolutely changed the way that I was praying. Changed the way I was praying. Just to realize I submit to him. My life is his.
Wow. We've got about 3 minutes, Kathy. Would you say a word of encouragement to a dear listener right now? Would you pray for that dear one, please?
Father God, I just thank you for the privilege that you've given me to serve you in this amazing way, to be able to share how you brought me through what was at the time the greatest crisis of my life. And Lord, I know, as I knew then, that there are people who are just paralyzed with fear. They've either found a lump in their breast, they're so afraid to get it checked, or they're so fearful because they have a family history and they think that that means that they're destined to face breast cancer. And truthfully, the statistics don't say that, but people believe that. So Lord, I just ask that you be with the people who are facing their crisis right now. And I don't know who they are, but you do. And it's not a coincidence that they're listening to this story. You've brought them to this. So, Lord, I ask you to be with them. I have several friends right now who are facing breast cancer the second or the third time. And, Father, I just ask for your presence. I ask you, Lord, to be with them and let them feel your presence in new and astounding ways and bring them through this, Lord, just as surely as you brought me through, and that they might have a testimony to share to give someone else hope in the future as well. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you give us to share our lives and our testimonies, and that is what you instruct us to do as your children. I pray for all of those who are listening to this show, Lord, and I thank you for Danny and his wonderful ministry. And I thank you for the privilege that I have to be part of it. Pray all these things in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kathy, what scripture has been an anchor scripture text for you?
You know, I always fall back to Philippians, that I can all do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because that just, I mean, sometimes we need that just to get through one day. And sometimes we need that to get through a huge episode like facing cancer. And that's one that I just have at my desk every day and that I share with people all the time. Because isn't his word the most amazing thing?
Amen. Kathy Masumitsu, thank you. Thank you very much. Courageous words from Kathy Masumitsu, cpkm.tripod.com. God's timing, my friend, is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. And I thank you in advance. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Kathy Masumitsu, cpkm.tripod.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chance Ontai, guest coordinator, Jan Yee, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.